More economic problems in Scotland. This time it's Glasgow and Edinburgh tightening up on how much it's going to cost you to park your car in the city centre. Welcome to Constable Confidential. I'm Simon Constable, and joining us again, thank you very much, is Alan Quinn. He is a businessman and entrepreneur based in Glasgow, the biggest city in Scotland, and I think the third biggest in the UK. Thank you for joining us again, Alan.
Thank you, Simon.
So you have been commenting via LinkedIn on what's been going on in Glasgow, and that's a very much bigger city than is Edinburgh, although it's not the capital city. It's much bigger and in many ways much more important. What exactly has happened with parking charges?
Well, the local council, Glasgow City Council, which is an SNP-led council, supported
that's the Scottish National Party that wants independence from the broader UK, just for our American listeners. Just wanted to make sure of that.
That's correct, Simon. That's right. And they, you know, they got a lot of votes in the last Scottish election. And they do lead a lot of the councils, but they just perpetually look for new ways to introduce new taxes. It's like a full-time job thinking of new taxes and ways of raising money. They never seem to consider ways that they can save money and provide better value for money. But basically, in Glasgow, up until 6 p.m. you pay for parking in the city centre, which is fairly standard. I think everybody accepts that. I would personally say I think the parking's quite expensive, £5.60 an hour in the town centre. But they're now looking to extend this beyond 6 p.m. and take it up to 10 p.m. at night. And this is really, fundamentally, it's going to be a tax on workers, particularly in the hospitality sector, but also just for people that are looking to come into the city at night, park their car, go to the cinema, go for something to eat, enjoy the city centre, which used to be great. I mean, I personally still like the city centre. But at night time, if you think you're going to go into the town centre to have something to eat, and you'll have to add on about £15-20 in parking to enjoy your night before you do anything.
And then you're going to pay a lot to go to the movies, and just to get the tickets for the movies. And then if you want to eat something, that's even more. And then, of course, you've got the petrol costs, that's gasoline, yeah. and everything. I was, while you were looking at what was going on in Glasgow, I was looking at what was going on in Edinburgh. And starting in April 3rd, which isn't far from now, street parking will jump by 20% to £6.70 an hour. That's $8.49, or £54 a day. Now, I thought that was really whopping. And then I looked at what was going on with that as a relationship to the average pay. Now, the average salary in Scotland last year was £27,000. That's about $35,000 a year. And I worked out that was that if you paid that amount, the £54 a day for 52 weeks a year, 5 days a week, that will be half your pre-tax salary.
Yeah.
Right. So exactly how is this going to work? Is this going to be, mean that parking is for rich people? Is that what and I've got to say, left-leaning Scottish National Party wants?
I think it is. I don't think they want people driving. They've already introduced a low emission zone in the Glasgow area, which just seems completely ridiculous. I mean, the Glasgow city centre, is not, well, there's been zero difference in the air quality since they introduced it last June. And really, I've never considered it a good idea. But this low emission zone, obviously, it takes a lot of people out that don't maybe have the latest cars. You could easily argue it's a tax on the poorest, the people that have the worst cars.
Oh, it's certainly regressive, but mathematically, this is a regressive tax. It hits the poor far more than the rich.
Yes, that's right. And now they're talking about introducing these extended hours for parking. And really, just if you can imagine anybody working in the town centre. Now, you took a fairly broad example there for Edinburgh. Edinburgh has always hated cars. Always, every policy for the last 25 years in Edinburgh. However, Edinburgh does have a much better infrastructure when it comes to local transport. It has the trams, it has many more buses, it's a lot smaller city, so you can walk about. Glasgow has
it's a, it's it's. Let me interrupt for people who don't know this. It's a capital city, but it's tiny.
Yes.
It's a 500,000 people, basically. You can walk almost everywhere, although some of the pathways are a little steep if you've got achy bones and stuff. But if you haven't, it's very easy to walk over all of the town. And if you're prepared to spend half an hour walking to work, then you don't need a gym and it's all good. So you're absolutely right. It is a bit of a different situation. Glasgow, as far as when I last visited it, it was a great place to visit. People are extra friendly. And because of that, you feel like spending some money. Maybe you want to get some coffee and some cake with it and et cetera, et cetera. How is this parking thing going to change that?
Well, it really will change it. I mean, already I would say we very rarely go into the city at night time because it's very difficult just getting out of the city at night time. The last trains are usually really packed, busy, very difficult to get a taxi. And this is specifically after COVID, where there's a lot of taxi drivers in the area just decided to stop working. So taxis are a lot more sparse than what they used to be. So really getting home is a real struggle. And what we've been doing over recent years is one of us drives in, one of us not having a drink, the other one will, or if we're going as a group, then they will. But at least you can park your car local, you know, within walking distance from where you're going. This will really, really put people off going into city centres. No question about it. I went into the city two Fridays ago to watch a band. Now, just thinking about that band, they would have to park their van if their van was LEZ compatible. So if they were allowed it in the city centre without getting a £60 fine, have to park the car. They then have to park it at night time. So they could be parking it for maybe 7 or 8 hours while they're actually playing a gig for people. So everybody
and to be I don't know what the band you went to see was, but quite often bands are making a losing proposition monetarily when they're beginning, when they're
That's
getting
right.
out
And,
there.
And this band,
really, this makes it worse.
That exactly. I mean, this will not encourage music in the city centre. No question about it. You cannot go in the underground with a drum kit. You know, you cannot really walk.
Although
about.
that would be fun, though. You'd get some interest, wouldn't you?
I would like to try it myself. But you know, you just can't do these things. It's just practical. And then you've got the workers. So people are coming in to work in the town centre and maybe leaving at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. How have they to get home? You know, it's an impossible situation for them. I really don't know how they'll do it. So it will stop people wanting to work in the town centre. The businesses will need to pay more to attract anybody that is prepared to find a way home late at night after a long shift in a bar or a pub or a restaurant or a nightclub or whatever. You know, it'll kill the town centre. It'll decimate it. And I just don't, for the amount of money that it'll raise, for the damage it does for the city, is just it's a horrible thought. Thankfully, there is no date yet to introduce it, and there is a huge petition that's going about that's being signed to really discourage it. But I think what sticks in the craw as well of everybody else is not only are Glasgow City Council finding all these fabulous new taxis and to charge everybody the local emission zone, this parking charges, as well as everything else. I've dealt with them recently on some planning issues. I was charged £459 for a curb inspection, for somebody to drive past and look at a curb and say, yes, that can be dropped for a driveway. I mean, these are just extortionate prices for things that Glasgow City Council come up with. But what's worse is they want to work 4 days a week, but still get paid for 5 days a week. That is what the SNP are trying to achieve. And of course, they come out with all of these reports that show how it'll be much better for people's mental health. Well, I cannot imagine a single worker, if somebody comes to say to them, listen, do you want to work for 4 days a week and get paid for five, would possibly say otherwise. So not only are we having to pay all of this extra money for all these local taxis, and they're talking about potentially decimating the town centre with these nighttime charges, but they're also wanting to feather their own nest by working 4 days a week and getting paid for five.
That's very hard for, I mean, for some jobs, one can do that. One can cram in a 14-hour day for 4 days of the week and then say, okay, well, I've done the extra work, so now but you can't, now I can have, you know, Friday off or whatever the day is. But you can't do that if you're in hospitality, because if you're there to serve somebody a beer or a cocktail or
Well, that's
dinner,
right. Well,
you need
I
to
would also,
be there.
yeah, Simon, sorry to interrupt, but I would also say if a commercial business wants to make that choice, that's up to a commercial business. But the public sector is different. The taxpayer is paying for the public sector to serve the public. And this SNP government want to encourage public sector organisations, including the councils, to basically give everybody a day off a week and still get paid a full pay. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's already near impossible trying to speak to somebody in the public sector, whether it be Universal Credit Office, whether it be the local council. Most of them are still working from home. But to then go to a four-day week, I can only imagine what that would be like. I would guarantee you that just about anybody you ever wanted to speak to, their colleagues would say, oh, I'm sorry, this is their day off. It's completely
and I'm sure that would be used as an excuse more often than it was absolutely true. It does remind me of
certainly think it would be, Simon.
Yeah, one thing this does remind me of is Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company. When asked how many people work for him, he said about half of them. So I think that probably relevant to that. So, sorry, let me go on to Glasgow, though. Glasgow is the biggest city by far in Scotland, and it's got to be the richest too, except on those rare times when you have Aberdeen doing extra well because of the oil business. But if the biggest city is going to get hit by this, the entire economy of Scotland is not going to do well. Am I missing something here?
Well, certainly the heartbeat of the city centre. I mean, my goodness, you know, the heartbeat is the city centre of Glasgow, certainly on the west coast of Scotland. And, you know, this will definitely decimate businesses. No question about it. The Hard Rock Cafe in Glasgow closed in January with a loss of 85 jobs. Just as another, you know, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't specific reason just for parking, but they're already struggling. And there was rates relief money that was provided by Westminster for England to provide hospitalities with some rates relief and save some money to keep the businesses going. This is recent. And the allocation of money to Scotland has not been passed on to hospitality. So it's just one blow after another. And these people working, and these are the toughest businesses to work in. Serving in a bar, running a bar, running and owning a restaurant is really, really hard work. And this is one blow after another, and this is really could be the final nail in the coffin for many of these businesses that just think, why bother? Because every time you're going for a pizza or to a movie, you're adding about £15 onto your night out. Why would you go there? You would just go to an out of town cinema, an out of town shopping center like Brayhead or Silverburn, have some tea, go to some, and not suffer these big charges.
That is a terrible situation, and obviously that won't be the same in Edinburgh, although the car situation will be sounding like it's nearly as bad. But you can walk, and I guess that means you don't drink drive home, because you walk home in a drunken stupor, I guess, in Edinburgh, or well, not in a drunken stupor if you've just had a couple of beers. Let's move on to something, because one of the things they say in America, I spent 25 years of my adult life there. In America, they say that it's the economy, stupid, or it answers the question, how can you ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Now, in Britain, it's 5 years. We have a general election, and one is coming up soon. We're not quite sure when, but it will be within a few months at the latest. Yep. What is the mood in Scotland with regards to the major parties? And the major party at the moment in Scotland is the Scottish National Party, but then you've also got talk about the Labour Party, which is also left-leaning, but slightly less left-leaning. And then you've got Conservatives there, who haven't done very well, and then Liberal Democrats. I realize that's very complicated for Americans, but let's just focus on the two, Labour and the Scottish National Party. How do you see the mood in Scotland? Not the way you'd vote, but what you think the majority will vote for if we have this general election, say, within the next 3 months?
Yeah, the Westminster general election for across the UK will happen this year. I think in Scotland, more recently, Scotland has predominantly been Labour voting territory for decades, decades and decades. It's been Labour voting territory. And in my own personal view, as many people vote Labour because it's what their parents did and they just follow on. So it's almost like supporting a football team as you're with them through the good and the bad. But the SNP did break a lot of that in the last sort of 15, 20 years. And a lot of people moved to the SNP thinking that, you know, they talked a good game. They had some charismatic leaders, Alex Salmond, Nicola Sturgeon. Whether you liked them or not, they were charismatic. And they led the parties quite strongly and, you know, have done well for themselves over the last 14 years. But they've been, in my view, they've been an absolute disaster for Scotland. And I think a lot of those policies are now coming home to roost. And people don't view the SNP as well as what they did only 2 or 3 years ago. We've got Hamza Yousaf, which is the leader in Scotland. And I really think the SNP will take a battering in the general election, which I'd be quite pleased about. Labour will win more seats in Scotland than what they have done in the last couple of general elections. So I think there will be a lot stronger performance from Labour in Scotland at the general election.
So one of the things that a lot of people talk about in when going into elections is tactical voting. Say, will a vote for the Conservatives be a wasted vote? And I think over the country, and I'll speak this from my understanding of the entire UK, is that it probably will be a wasted vote because it's basically Labour's to lose at the moment on a countrywide basis. Do the people in Scotland and in Glasgow that you know and listen to, do they view a vote for the SNP as a wasted vote this time, or do they?
I don't think they've viewed a vote for the SNP as a wasted vote. Some people are just stuck that they want independence, and the SNP is the main party that promotes that. There is a second party led by Alex Salmond, who was the original leader of SNP, or was the leader before Nicola Sturgeon. Again, very charismatic. I never felt embarrassed when he used to speak. He was a good speaker. He has another party called ALBA, and the SNP voters who are staunch independence voters, they may turn to ALBA, which will take votes, obviously, away from the SNP. But I think what the SNP's bubble has burst, I think the good story that they tried to tell and sell to the people of Scotland was, you know, don't vote Labour, vote SNP, and we'll give you left-wing policies in Scotland and move for independence. They had a surge on that over the last sort of 14 years or so, and I think that bubble has now burst. They've demonstrated woefully inadequate to run Scotland and to represent Scotland and to grow the economy. You only have to look at population and Scotland's population. I find this very interesting. England's population has grown 20.3% since the year 2000. So in 24 years, there is about 10 million more people in England. So a real population crisis in England. You can understand why many of the public services in England are struggling badly when you've got that level of increase in population. Scotland's population peaked in 1974 at 5.24 million. And in 2022, it was 5.43 million. So that means Scotland's population has grown 196,000 in 50 years. That is 3.74% increase in our population in 50, half a century. We've grown by 3.74%. And we are struggling badly with our public services. Scotland has no excuse. England, I'm sympathetic with because of the growth that they've had in the population. But Scotland, what is our excuse? I just don't understand it. I don't understand why the public services are so bad in Scotland, arguably worse than what they are in England. Yet we've had minuscule population growth and we've had a massive increase in the money that's been spent in Scotland. And furthermore, the prediction by the National Records of Scotland is that our population will grow to 5.49 million by 2050, which means in nearly 60 years, our population would only have grown 5.5%, yet we're still struggling. There is no excuse.
Which is a minuscule amount of things.
Oh, minuscule.
Back to so that won't augur well for anyone who's been in office. You tend to get kicked out if the economy doesn't grow. Going back to the Labour situation, the Labour Party isn't what it was when I was a child and my father voted for Labour, which is far more left wing. I'm thinking James Callaghan and the 70s. It's much more centrist now, certainly under Keir Starmer, who's the national leader of that. Is that going to affect people and maybe deter some unhappy Scottish National Party members from switching to Labour, or will that not be relevant?
I think their natural home previous to the SNP having charismatic leaders was the Labour Party, and I think many of them will switch back. I think it's just been proven that the independence story and what SNP can do for Scotland, they've just not proven it to be the case. They've not lived out what they said they would. And I think a lot of these will be disenfranchised SNP supporters that will move back to their home, which is Labour, as you say, from years ago. That was most of Scotland's people's natural home. You could easily argue there's very little difference between Labour and Conservative. I know in the national press, you know, there really is very, very little difference. And but regardless of that, a lot of people in Scotland just will not vote Conservative, rightly or wrongly. They've got a sort of bad brand in Scotland, maybe they need to consider changing their name.
So I've got to ask you, what is the weather like in Glasgow right now as we speak? And I know you've just got back from somewhere very sunny.
And
that's absolutely lovely. And I congratulate you for that, because I've lived a winter or two in Scotland, and I know yes. It gets a bit grey. So has that made you happy, getting that sun on you?
Oh, yeah, a bit of winter sun. When you're coming from Glasgow, nobody comes here for the weather. And as I look outside, it is, as you described, grey and slightly rainy. So a typical Glasgow day. Can I just point out, Simon, before I go, that one of the biggest dangers that I think for the UK moving forward, including Scotland, is if in the general election the Labour Party decide to give 16 and 17 year olds the vote. Because in Scotland, the Scottish government elections and the Welsh government elections, they give 16 and 17 year olds the vote. And you only need to look at the state of how these two countries are currently getting run and operated at the moment. And I cannot think that when you've got 16 and 17 year olds voting, who barely look after themselves, never mind a family, they just make decisions on their heart, which means we get bad politicians and we get very poor policies. The Labour Party are talking about introducing that for the general election, and I really see that as one of the biggest dangers for Britain.
Oh, well, that gives us something very interesting to talk about next time you come back on the show. Thank you very much, Alan Quinn, entrepreneur and businessman in Glasgow, Scotland, explaining it as it is there on the ground. I'm Simon Constable. This is Constable Confidential, and that's it.